Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we talk to snowboarder Chris Frost, Hawaiian musician Macau, as well as Salt Lake City's own Kathy Foy, and we talk to the good people from the She Jumps Alpine Finishing School. Chris Frost is a pro snowboarder based right here in Salt Lake City, originally from Minnesota of all places. You don't really think of snowboarding in that wintry northern state altogether that often. Frost moved to Utah back in November of 2009 and eventually became part of the Terrain Park staff for Brighton Resort back in 2011. Now he's become a global pro for Innie as well as an am rider for Rome Snowboards. He sat down with Slug writer Tim Cronenberg to talk about snowboarding and his career so far.
Maybe just give me a little rundown who you are.
I'm Chris Frost. I'm 23 years old. Snowboard and I skateboard and I'm from Minnesota.
So I guess you're a pro snowboarder now.
Yeah, I just found out actually in last February at SIA out in Denver, Colorado.
So basically, what is SIA for those who don't know?
It's a big snow sports trade show where just all of the brands pretty much in the entire snow industry go out to Denver, Colorado, and they go promote their new product and try to sell it to all the shop buyers for the coming season.
So, I mean, obviously this is kind of every kid's dream to go be a pro snowboarder, football player. I mean, your case, it's snowboarding. But how do prospects, such as I'm sure you were yourself when you were growing up, how do you get into that sort of an industry?
Well, I guess there's probably, you know, there's multiple different ways. There's not like an exact, this is how you do it. But I went about it just basically snowboarding as much as possible and just trying to have as much fun doing it while I was, you know, having fun. And just, you know, progression kind of came along with it. And then once I started to notice that I was getting better, then it was like, oh, you know, maybe I should go do some competitions. Maybe I should start sending some emails and looking for sponsors and talking to shops and seeing if anybody's looking for new riders and stuff like that, and just having fun and self-promoting myself.
A lot of self-promotion and a lot of being self-motivated, huh?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's the aspect of being a good snowboarder, and then there's also knowing how to try to get your name out there too, because there's a lot of really good snowboarders out there that, you know, that nobody knows who they are. They're not getting their name out there. They're not actively pursuing it, you know, and they're just sitting around waiting for somebody to come to them. And that's, I mean, it can work for some people and it doesn't work for everybody, you know. So I try to just help myself get my name out there a little bit and do some self-promotion.
Make friends rather than enemies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe you could explain to me, you're coming from Minnesota to Utah. How'd you get here? I know you got kind of an interesting story.
Well, it's pretty crazy, yeah. So I think it was when I was maybe 16 that I decided that I wanted to try to pursue snowboarding as a career, and then just did it, you know, all through high school, and then did some comps and stuff in Minnesota, and then I graduated high school in 2009 and actually wanted to move to Whistler, Canada to go pursue snowboarding out there. And long story short, didn't work out, and then I ended up coming to Salt Lake. Got a job within the first week that I was here at Brighton and met my roommates on the chairlift accidentally, and it just worked out way better than I could have ever thought. Got a couple sponsors and worked on video parts and slowly just trying to get my name out there.
Nice. Maybe you can, I know you're on park crew at Brighton right now, maybe you could tell me a little bit what you did before then and kind of like what video parts you've been in. Just a lot of, I mean, you weren't getting paid for this, obviously, for that first little bit, so how do you make ends meet, man?
Yeah, so when I first moved out here, like I was saying, when I got hired the first week, I had instructing experience in Minnesota, and I had a pretty good resume when I came out here and just showed it to them and did some, you know, minimum sliding skills, requirements, stuff like that, and showed them that I knew how to teach. And then I was an instructor for 2 seasons at Brighton, and I applied to be park crew each season that I was there. By the third season, I finally got a job on the park crew.
So basically, what do your summers look like? That's got to be a tough time to make ends meet during then and keep your feet on a snowboard.
When I first moved out here, I didn't spend my summers at Mount Hood, but as I just got further into it and wanted to pursue it more and started to kind of realize that I needed to be snowboarding all summer to stay, you know, somewhat competitive, I first started doing the spring pass, which is a cheap way to go do it if you don't have an inn at a camp or at Timberland or something. You go and it's like, you know, just a little over $100 to ride for 2 months in the spring during kind of the down season at Timberline. And now I spend my summers out there working at Wendell's snowboard camp, actually.
What are you going to be doing this summer?
I'm going to be digging at Wendell's.
What's digging for those people who don't know what digging is?
Pretty much the same thing that I do at Brighton's park crew. You know, we go build and maintain all the jumps and rails and, you know, just keep it nice for the kids and keep it fresh and pull features in and out of the hill. And, you know, that's pretty simply put, but physical labor.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess it's all about the kids in the end. So how would you say that you train yourself to progress? Because you got to get to some certain high level to become the well-known snowboarder that you are today.
You know, really the biggest thing is just trying to have as much fun as possible and hanging out with friends. And definitely the people that I ride with at Brighton Park Crew, and even, you know, it doesn't have to be park crew, but I get inspiration from all riding with all of my friends. You know, there's certain ways that people look even just at a run that I don't necessarily look at it the exact same way. And just always trying to learn, always trying to progress, always trying to better myself and have as much fun as possible. And, you know, going out to Mount Hood is a great way to do that in the sense that you're not losing tricks or practice or anything like that during the summer. You're just continuing to, you know, potentially learn tricks all summer long instead of getting back on the board, you know, late fall and having to relearn a whole bunch of stuff that you lost during the summer.
Being on point. And you probably think skateboarding comes in a little bit with that too, huh?
Oh yeah, skateboarding definitely is a huge, huge factor. You know, just anything from a 50-50 to a board slide to an ollie, you know, it all transfers over to snowboarding. It's all consistent practice, but that's not why I skateboard. It's just to practice for snowboarding. I skateboard because I love skateboarding, but it's absolutely good practice for snowboarding.
So there's been a really big push for women lately, last few years, like just kind of getting them on the snowboard and empowerment and getting, I don't know, you've seen the progression, it's crazy. Like, how do you kind of feel and have you seen that grow?
For one, just a lot more women are pursuing it. You know, I remember back in the day, there was only, you know, one or two or, you know, like a small handful of women that were, you know, that people knew their names and stuff. And now it's growing so much. There's so many more women that are snowboarding now, and there's a lot more women that are getting a lot more stylish, a lot more confident, a lot more just up in the level, a whole lot. It was cool watching the Olympics. I heard somebody say that they almost preferred to watch the women's slopestyle because they were more about, you know, stylish fives and sevens and stuff and making it look good versus who can, you know, triple cork to, you know, double flip off a rail or something like that. It's getting a little circusy on the men's end, and so it's kind of cool even just to watch the women because it's like watching men's snowboarding a couple years ago. It's just more about style and getting a cool seven around versus who's got the most hucky whatever.
And you'd say that's probably one of the more trendy things going on in snowboarding right now too, is just more like focusing on style, eh?
Yeah, well, I mean, with Sage winning the Olympics, that was a great, you know, a great thing for snowboarding in the sense of he brought a lot more style and fun into it versus just who can get the most rotation around. And it was really cool to see somebody win showing that style aspect of snowboarding instead of the huckiness.
And that's how you get on a Wheaties box.
For sure.
To check out more of Chris's work, check him out at Instagram /MinnesotaFrost. And that's MinnesotaFrost Frost. Macau is an electronic musician based in Salt Lake City, originally from Hawaii. He started making music professionally back in 2009 and released his debut album called A Far Off Horizon in June 2012. Since then, he sporadically released a few singles, branched into outside genres, a little chill wave, a little shoegaze, a little ambient music, all while keeping the electronic vibe going from his original work. This is a song called Snow off of his two-track release called Stars and Snows, aptly. This is from December 2013. To download any of Macau's albums and singles, check out macau.bandcamp.com, and that's spelled M-K-A-I-O. And for more information on the man himself, visit him at macau.com. Plan B Theater Company's Season of Eric, devoted to the work of Utah playwright Eric Samuelson, concludes with three short plays about Mormon women confronting their own culture. Details and tickets at planbtheater.org. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week beginning on March 18th and running through March 24th. Amazing, we're officially into springtime with this one, y'all. As always, I would encourage you to go to slugmag.com. Go down to the bottom of that homepage, check out those listings. There's always great new stuff being added in there. I find quality goods every week myself, starting with, on Wednesday, March 19th, Carrie Rodriguez. For those of you who aren't familiar, really awesome fiddle player, amazing singer, really strong songwriter, plays a mean guitar as well. I originally saw her a million years ago at the Zephyr Club with Chip Taylor, the man who wrote Wild Thing, you know, that Wild Thing. She's been doing a solo thing for quite a while. She's playing at the State Room along with Ben Taylor, and yes, that is James Taylor's son. That is on Wednesday, March 19th. On Thursday, March 20th, one of my favorite movies ever to come out of the Sundance Film Festival, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. From the theater production, they made an awesome movie. That's playing at Broovies that night. Special screening. Also that night, a really cool show, rootsy group Lake Street Dive. They are coming to State Room. That show is sold out now, but there'll probably be some tickets floating around. Think about that one. On Friday, March 21st, big show up at Park City Live, Martin Sexton and Jay Nash. They've both come through here many times before. Put them together, should be a great singer-songwriter kind of night up at Park City Live. Down here in Salt Lake City that night, couple of really big shows. Lucas Nelson and the Promise of the Real, and yes, that is Willie Nelson's son. He's a mean guitar player, a little bit more of a Stevie Ray Vaughan type than a Willie Nelson type. He's playing at the State Room on Friday and also on Saturday. And the same thing is happening over at In the Venue. Two shows, two bands, two nights. Taking Back Sunday and The Used. Old hands around these parts. The Used, obviously, from Utah. Taking Back Sunday, been coming through here forever and a day. They're both playing on Friday and Saturday down at In the Venue. Also on that Friday, March 21st, Muckraker and Regal Beast at ABG's in Provo. A fine bar where, yes, you can get a drink down Provo way. And then Mr. Gnome, Heaps and Heaps, and Big Wild Things at Urban Lounge that night. Mr. Gnome's pretty cool. Married couple. She's a singer guitar player. He's a drummer piano player. They make some really cool indie rock together. Saturday, March 22nd, free show at the Canyons featuring reggae legend Steel Pulse, one of my personal favorites, along with Cody Chestnut, who is just a badass in his own right. He's come through here before playing with The Roots, doing his solo shows. That's two great acts for one free price up at the Canyons on that Saturday. That night, Against Me, Laura Stevenson, and Cheap Girls. That should be an awesome show at Murray Theater. Really excited to see Against Me. They got a good new album out there. And we also have Gaytheist, Baby Girl, Yaktooth, and Die Off, bringing a lot of great local rock to Bar Deluxe. Finally, Monday, March 24th, Appleseed Cast, straight out of Lawrence, Kansas. One of my favorite little music scenes, thanks to my sister going to college there. They're coming through town. It's been a little while for them. Back when they first started, they were kind of heavily emo sounding, little Sunny Day Real Estate to them. They've gotten a little bit more into sort of that post-rock noisy stuff. I really dig them a lot. They're playing at the Urban Lounge that night. As always, I encourage you to go to slugmag.com, check out those listings. Always new stuff going in there. If you throw shows, book bands, any of those things, you can put your own listings in there for free for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year. You can put some quality links to your content. Kathy Foy is certainly a familiar face to anybody who pays attention to local music around Salt Lake City. She's primarily known for being the drummer in many of Will Sartain's projects, such as Future of the Ghost, Hang Time, The Circulars. Last year, she made her own solo album working with a bunch of our fine local musicians. That album is called Quiet as the Hour, and this is a song called Long Time Winter Snow.
Laid on my back and allowed the time to lapse. Memories flooded into me and I allowed my love to be. I closed close my eyes, sing out a song to sigh. I soften with the blow, with the violence of the undertow.
Download the album, visit kathyfoy.bandcamp.com, and for more information on Foy and her music, look her up on Facebook. Just do a little search for Kathy Foy. She Jumps Alpine Finishing School is an organization that helps women of all ages get into the great outdoors without having to deal with all the snow bros up in their face. They cover territories all over North America, as well as an international program. They provide classes and all sorts of activities and more for women all over the world. They have an all-women ski mountaineering course that's being taught this year from April 19th through the 26th in Canada, giving advanced skiers a chance to learn big mountain and backcountry skills in a supportive environment for all the ladies. Slug writer Brinley Froelich chatted with McKenna Peterson from the group about the school and their other programs.
How did you get involved in outdoor sports?
I started skiing at the age of 2. I grew up with very outdoorsy parents, so I was fortunate enough to have them drag me around.
Awesome.
Throughout my youth. I moved to Salt Lake City about 7 years ago to go to the University of Utah because it is so close to the mountains and I would be able to ski as often as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here ever since.
So how did you get involved with She Jumps?
I first became involved with She Jumps through competitive free skiing. I competed on the Free Skiing World Tour for 5 years, and during that time, a lot of She Jumps founding members were competing on the tour, and I got to know those girls. They had a great mission and a lot of fun events planned, and I was just stoked to become involved and hang out with them and go do things together.
Cool. So how long ago was that you got involved?
Oh, I would say it was about 2007.
Okay. And what do you do with them now?
Now I'm mostly just someone who is around and helps out with events that they do. She Jumps has grown so much since I've been involved with it over the past 5 or 6 years, that there's chapters throughout the entire U.S. and I think even some across the sea. now I've taken a step back and I'm not in charge of anything. I don't have any responsibility, but I help out with all of their events and I'm always around.
Cool.
And I'm always making sure I'm involved.
Cool. Can you give kind of an overview of what type of events you host and put on?
Yep. For? Last summer we did do a really cool camping and rock climbing trip in the Uintas.
Mm-hmm.
We went up there, just a bunch of ladies, for 3 days. I think there were 10 of us, and we set up tents and climbed some routes. There were some women that came up that have never rock climbed before, so we taught them how to rock climb, and then there were other women that were really experienced mm-hmm. rock climbers, and they were pushing their limits, and it was a really, really fun dynamic.
Cool.
And all the other groups that we saw up there were so surprised that we were a group of 10 women
mm-hmm.
out camping in the backcountry together without any men around, but we did great.
Cool. Can you kind of explain for our listeners what the Alpine Finishing School is?
So, Alpine Finishing School is a ski mountaineering course. It's 7 days. It's all women. All of the instructors are women. The people that own the cabin that you fly into are women. So it's a really, really cool, comfortable dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
A great place to really push your skiing and mountaineering abilities.
Mm-hmm.
To learn all of the basics, you know, learn all of the advanced techniques in mountaineering, and it's amazing. It's a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's cool. dance parties. It's fun. You ski really, really awesome snow,
mm-hmm.
and you learn a lot.
So is it just a once a year, and what time of the year does it usually happen?
So Alpine Finishing School usually happens, I believe, the beginning of April every year. It is based out of the Selkirk Lodge, which is on Rogers Pass in British Columbia,
mm-hmm.
Kind of close to Revelstoke.
Did you personally face any challenges, or did Ski Jumps as a program, do they face any challenges as they grow and expand as a program?
Yeah, I mean, the organization part of it and just
mm-hmm.
the logistics was a challenge, but so many women have been willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are incredibly passionate about Ski Jumps and have stepped up and taken on bigger roles within the nonprofit, and all of the help has just been overwhelming, and that has made it what it is.
Cool. What's been the most rewarding part for you working in it?
Gosh, the most rewarding part for me is just the people I've met. You know, I've met all of my best friends through Ski Jumps, you know, all the women that I do everything with. I'm actually in the process of planning a pretty major expedition, and we actually take off end of March. We're doing a ski and sail expedition to Iceland and Greenland.
Wow.
Yep. To ski.
That sounds awesome. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, and the women I'm going with, I met at Alpine Finishing School.
Cool.
2 years ago, so.
That's awesome. So how have people in the community that you work in, and then kind of Ski Jumps as a whole, like nationally and internationally, how have people received it and that you know of?
Oh, it seems like it has just blown up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see it all over the place. Have you seen our giraffe-acorn stickers?
No.
Okay, so Ski Jumps spirit animal
mm-hmm.
is a giraffe-acorn.
Okay.
It's half giraffe, half unicorn. The giraffe-acorn logo has appeared all over the place. Everywhere I go within my ski travels,
mm-hmm.
I see stickers. Or people wearing hats, or, you know, stickers on someone's skis or on their car, and they'll be like, whoa, how did Ski Jumps reach all the way up here in Canada or
yeah.
over here in Switzerland? But it's all over the place, and it's really awesome to see.
That is cool. Do you know about how many members there are, or is it a type of thing where you have a membership?
You don't have a membership.
Okay.
We do have a clubhouse type thing,
mm-hmm.
which is similar to Facebook. You just kind of sign up and it connects you with Ski Jumps members from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are quite a few women on there, you know, in the thousands. So the clubhouse is a really cool thing to check out. It's a great way just to communicate with other members and plan trips. And, you know, you can put a post up on the clubhouse saying, hey, I want to go on a ski tour on Thursday. Anyone want to join?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get a bunch of responses. And it's a good way to communicate.
Cool. So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges facing females in the outdoor sports industry? It's a tough question.
That is a very tough question. One of the biggest challenges, I think, is opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that initial time when someone invites you to go do something, that sparks the interest and gets you going. I feel like those initial opportunities aren't as prevalent as they should be. And a nonprofit like She Jumps can just multiply that to such a point where anyone can have that opportunity to go ski for the first time, go on a hike for the first time, go rock climbing, go kayaking, fly fishing. You know, there's all of these outdoor activities that are kind of difficult to start up on your own. It takes a lot to just wake up in the morning and decide, hey, I'm gonna go fly fishing today, when you've never done it before and you don't have any of the gear and you don't really know what it consists of. So having the opportunity present itself often where you say, hey, maybe I will go try that. And then it just ignites a fire and becomes a passion for the rest of your life.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
So what are some of the goals moving forward, the organization or you yourself?
Moving forward, She Jumps kind of changing their initiative to more outdoor education and like youth initiatives. So something like Alpine Finishing School will ideally give its participants the knowledge and the ability to go back home and teach others what they've learned, you know, especially children. She Jumps is just trying to create this huge outreach grouping of women that are knowledgeable enough and comfortable to pass down their skills and then teach others and create a snowball effect to give everybody all kinds of knowledge and opportunity.
Yeah.
To get outside.
Sounds awesome. So how can someone get involved with She Jumps if they're interested?
You know, there's so many ways. Check out the website. Get on the clubhouse. There's a link from shejumps.org to the clubhouse.
Okay.
And sign up. I think it's similar to Facebook. You just need to do your name and your email address. Search around there for a little bit. There's events all the time. I get 2 emails a week probably of events going on.
And it's all over the state or all over the area that they're in? Or
yep, when you sign up on the clubhouse, you add yourself to a certain area.
Okay.
So that you get connected with all the women in that area. Okay. And you get invited to all the events. And I mean, there's dinners, and then there's backcountry ski days, and then there's like 3-day-long camping trips. So there's awesome. Just a huge variety of stuff that you can sign up for and come talk to people and
cool.
get involved.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
As of this recording, that session in Canada is full, but they're accepting applications for a waiting list for their future activities. For more information on the school and other aspects of the organization, visit shejumps.org. Thanks again for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug Magazine, visit us at slugmag.com. We're going to be talking about the recent changes and issues in the LGBT community here in Utah. Lots of stuff going on, obviously, with the gay marriage decision, then non-decision, and now back to being on appeal. We'd like to hear your opinion on what's happening in the community right now. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com, or hit us up on Twitter @slugsoundwaves, or facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might bring up your ideas on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design is by T. Doan, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to tune us in next week. We'll be talking to the Capitol 13 from the recent protests up at the Utah State Capitol, as well as Babs DeLay.